Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle once again with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Our current series, if you've been listening for the last few weeks, deals with a few minutes with the Bible. So we ask you for the next quarter hour to just take time out to take your Bible and look at some of the marvelous truths that are found throughout the Old and the New Testaments. In fact, today we're going back to the Old Testament, the Daniel chapter 5. And if you'd like to deal with that on the broadcast today by following in your Bible, we'll give you time enough to find Daniel the 5th chapter. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we come to the book of Daniel to realize that he was one of the outstanding prophets of the Old Testament. A little words of background while you're finding that place. Daniel was taken to the Babylonian captivity from the land of Judea and Jerusalem and was taken over on that long trek to the city of Babylon. We're aware of the fact that Nebuchadnezzar had made 3 thrusts against the city, and finally when the captivity was complete that had been forecast by other prophets, we're aware of the fact that there was nothing left in the city of Jerusalem but just liability, people who could not make the trek to the city of Babylon. It was during this period of time, of course, that Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, telling him what the dream was and the meaning thereof in chapter 2. And then later we find the kingdom or the great empire of Babylon was to fall and the Medo-Persian empire was to come in control. We want to go on the broadcast today in this 5th chapter where Belshazzar is recognized as the king at this time. And we simply want to look at some words that are given for a king coming from God through this prophet Daniel. In the 5th chapter of Daniel, I'd like to have you drop down to verse 13 and we'll begin reading on the broadcast today. Follow us if you care to do so. Then was Daniel brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. See, here's a pagan king, Belshazzar, who actually was probably the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, speaking now to Daniel. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they might read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. You're aware of the fact that he's talking about the handwriting on the wall that came in the feast hall of Belshazzar the very night that the Babylonian Empire fell into control of the Medo-Persians. The king continues on in verse 16, And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with a scarlet. He's going to be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom. I'd like to point out to you that to most people, these would, of course, be very, well, we might say outstanding gifts. And think of where they had come from, the power of the world at this time. But Daniel looks upon these things as being transitory, and as I was preparing this lesson, I thought of what the Apostle Paul said at Mars Hill in the city of Athens in the 17th chapter of Acts. He looked at the idols and the worship of those pagans, and he said, At the time of this ignorance God winked at, but he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. He went on to point out that the Lord did not dwell in temples made by hands. He was not worshipped as though he needed gold and silver and precious stones and such. As I often tell people, that the God of heaven is not in need of all the gold that we have in Fort Knox. So the point is that all that the world has to offer will be those things that are considered precious in the eyes of men. But notice Daniel, who looking beyond the physical or the temporal aspects of this situation, begins in verse 17, and let's read the sequence here. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give them to another. In other words, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known unto him the interpretation. And then he goes on to tell us in verse 18 what this really is. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. and for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would set up, he did, and whom he would put down, he put them down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And then in verse 21, it tells us about the plight of Nebuchadnezzar that I'm sure you've read, not alone in this count, but probably even in secular history. In verse 21 it says, speaking of Nebuchadnezzar, he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. And they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of man, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. What strong teaching we have by this prophet Daniel. But he knows, and we know as we look at the Bible, that he's telling the truth. So here are real words for the king as he now turns his attention upon Belshazzar. And then he says in verse 22, And thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords and wives and concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast prayed the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand is thy very breath, and who, indeed, has all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Of course, the point is that the handwriting on the wall was made plain, and we simply look at it from the standpoint, in verse 27, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. I'd like to emphasize the point, the words for the king here are words that can come home to our life today. You see, if we're putting our trust in transitory things, they may mean a lot to the world of men. But these things were not eternal. When Daniel had made that prophecy in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, that in the days of the kings that were represented by that image, the Lord would set up a kingdom that would never be destroyed. This was really a kingdom that was not of this world. It was a kingdom that was not to be left to other people. And may I emphasize the point as we bring this broadcast to you today, that kingdom is in existence in the world today. In the Colossian congregations at Colossia, in that area there, probably also at Laodicea and elsewhere where the gospel had been proclaimed and people had obeyed it, the application of Colossians 1:13 comes home to our mind. When Paul says they were delivered from the power of darkness, and they were translated into the kingdom of his dear son. I would understand, as we've told you in past broadcasts, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he looked forward to taking his seat of authority in heaven at the right hand of the Father. One verse that brings this out conclusively is Matthew 28 and 18, where he told his apostles before he left this earth that full power or complete authority in heaven and earth was given unto him. Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father. And on that day of Pentecost, Peter preached that wonderful sermon in Acts, the second chapter, and he told them at the climax of the sermon, the same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. So at the time when Peter spoke, when the gospel was proclaimed first at Jerusalem, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, he was talking about words of a king who had truly given a teaching through the coming of that Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they told people how they could be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Now I inject this into the lesson today on the broadcast because the words for a king that are found in Daniel 5 are words for an earthly king who put all his trust in the things that he could handle, who put all his trust in his pomp and power and glory that truly were temporal. But Daniel pushed that all aside in showing how that God had power even over Nebuchadnezzar and truly over the lives of Belshazzar and others. So the point is simply this, that this kingdom fell. And as I look at the text, I find it to be very interesting to find that one short verse in this fifth chapter of Daniel underscores the whole thing. It simply says, "In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain." And then we have the next empire coming on. "And Darius the Media took the kingdom, being about 62 years old." So a 62-year-old man took the throne at that time for the Medo-Persian Empire. It lasted for a while. It was finally overthrown by the Grecians with Alexander the Great. And finally the Grecian Empire crumbled and fell into the hands of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was in existence when the Lord did set up his kingdom, which includes that day of Pentecost in the second chapter of Acts. And finally, in the annals of history, we realize the Roman Empire fell. The decline and fall of the Roman Empire was a series of writings that was offered by an outstanding historian, Gibbon. The point I'm trying to emphasize is, since that time, there has never been a world power that would compare with ancient Rome and even Babylon. But we do have the Lord's kingdom, which is everlasting, being set up. So words for a king today: truly is the fact that you have not honored the God of heaven, and you are weighed in the balances and found wanting. I'd like to make an application in your life and my life on the broadcast today. As your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ bring this into your family circle, we trust the message will also go into your heart, and you will recognize the importance, friends, of letting Jesus enter that heart. You see, our world will tumble and fall as temporal people upon this earth, but we talk to you about a kingdom that shall never fall. I was reading the other day in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, where we have wonderful words that can come to all of us who are in the kingdom, that truly the Lord will come at the final time, but he will deliver up the kingdom to his Father. If you tie that in with 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 11, he talks about heaven, where there'll be an everlasting kingdom. So I'm led to believe that this kingdom will never be destroyed, that it will continue on. Why don't you take time on this Lord's Day to go back and read that fifth chapter of Daniel? You'll see a picture of the glory of the world at its very best. And yet you'll see how weak it is when it comes to those things that are spiritual, when it comes to God. Place an emphasis upon the spiritual man that goes beyond the temporal world. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ that you believe he's the Son of God, and follow that with baptism into Christ Jesus. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ will be meeting today. Why not find out the address? Be there if you can, and be with us next time as we spend a few minutes with the Bible.